Linux is the most secure, the most ironclad and bulletproof operating system. Well, unless, of course, you're running a KDE theme, in which case all your files are going to get deleted and malicious code is going to be run all over the place. This is real. This is a real thing that just happened. This post is from about a day and a half ago, posted over on the Mastodon by the KDE team. They posted the following. I'm just going to read it to you. It's crazy. Warning. Global themes and widgets created by third-party developers for KDE Plasma can and will run arbitrary code. You are encouraged to exercise extreme caution when using these products. A user has had a bad experience installing a global theme on Plasma and lost personal data. Okay, he has had a bad experience is a crazy understatement, and even lost personal data is a wild understatement. I'll read the details to you guys in a second. It's crazy. They continue, global themes change the look of Plasma, but also the behavior. To do this, they run code, and this code can be faulty, as in the case mentioned above. The same goes for widgets and plasmoids. Plasmoids is a really cool word. Everything else aside, I mean, plasmoids, when I say plasmoids to you, we don't know what that means. I mean, unless you're a KDE person, you don't know what a plasmoid is. But it's a cool word, so I support its usage. We are calling on the community to help us locate and quarantine defective software by using the report buttons available on each item in the KDE store. All right, so what happened is this. Over on Reddit, this guy goes over to Reddit, right? And he's like, guys, he goes to the KDE subreddit, guys, quote, do not install global themes. Some wipe out all your data, all in caps. Dear community in KDE, I just installed this global theme innocently from the global themes add new option, and it deletes all your user mounted drives data. It executes rm-rf on your behalf, deletes all personal data immediately, no questions asked. Now, here's the crazy thing. Crazy. That particular theme had already been downloaded almost 4,000 times and had a 2.5 star out of 5 ratings. It was rated 5 out of 10. It was given 50-50 ratings. And it RMRFs all your user-mounted drives. Who was rating them? Who was downloading them? How much data did it get rid of? And also, RM-RF, why would a theme do that? I get how you might want to have a theme be able to run some code. While most of the time, I think you, me, and everyone else think of themes as kind of just collections of pictures and maybe some animations and maybe some description files, right? Like some XML or CSS or something like that to describe the look and layout of things. But if you want things to be a little bit more interactive and be a little bit more, I guess, configurable, you want to be able to run and execute some code. I get it. You know, to a certain extent, this is available over on GNOME as well, because you can have JavaScript-based extensions and modifications to the user experience. Again, could run all sorts of crazy code. But RM-RF, recursively delete files. What on earth is a theme, a UI theme, doing deleting files? Now, again, I want to point out that someone had a bad experience with a faulty theme, as they put it. I don't know that that's faulty. If you put RM-RF in a theme, you had plans to delete some files. The guy goes on to say, I'd appreciate if anyone could escalate this. I find it totally mind-blowing that installing skins allows script execution so easily. I canceled this when it asked for my root password. It lucked out there. But it was too late for my personal data. All drives mounted under my user were gone, down to 0 bytes. Games, configurations, browser data, home folder, all gone. Holy heavens. So everything mounted by your user. So sticking a thumb drive, gone. External hard drive, gone. Extra partitions, gone. Your home folder, gone. Nuked it. A theme. Now, to KDE's credit, they jumped on this pretty quick. Once this was posted, within a matter of hours, they started responding, right? They didn't wait around. I got to give them kudos to this. Here's a blog post from David Edmondson over on the KDE team. Trusting content on the KDE store, recent events. A global theme on the KDE third-party store had an issue where it executed a script command that removed users' data. I don't know if I'd call that an issue. I mean, yeah, in the broader sense, that's an issue. But I think more than an issue, that's malicious. I haven't inspected the code. I can't say for sure that this was done maliciously. It's just that I can't imagine the scenario where you say, I'm making a theme. I'm going to put a little RM-RF action in there, and I'm going to run it a lot of times, but it's totally not malicious. Wink, wink. Like, I'm just not buying that. It wasn't intended as malicious. Come on. How does that happen? But a mistake in some shell parsing. Yeah, I have that problem a lot when I'm creating a theme. I mistakenly shell parse into RM-RF on all user-mounted drives. Right, that happens to me all the time. It's just I can't imagine the scenario where that would occur. It was promptly identified and removed. Good. But not before doing some damage to that user. Well, and possibly the thousands and thousands of other people who also downloaded that same theme and rated it well. This has started a lot of discourse around the concept of the KDE of the store, security, and upstream KDE, with the main question, how can a theme have access to do this? To developers, it's not a surprise that third-party plugins can do this sort of thing. Absolutely. It's as intended. A global theme can ship custom lock screens, custom applets, custom settings, and all of these can run arbitrary bundled code. You can't constrain this without limiting functionality. To that end, here's an explicit warning when downloading plugins. All right, now, he makes a very good point. That is a completely valid point. In fact, it would go even further than that. When you are using a computer, like let's say you're using especially an open source computer, where the kernel and the user land tools and the display server and the desktop environment and all the when everything is open source to one extent or another, and there are thousands upon thousands of people working on it, even though there are thousands of eyeballs theoretically having access to all that code, it is ridiculously easy to sneak in intentionally malicious code into those projects. Extremely easy. Bonkers easy. And anyone who doubts that has never worked in the role of merging thousands of pull requests. If you're the person or group of people that are merging in all these pull requests and you have a really active project, once you get to about the 100th or so pull request for the month of tons of hundreds, if not thousands of lines of modified source code coming in that you have to review and merge into the project on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, your eyes start to glaze over. You are not, and this goes for every major project and pretty much every minor one, you are not going to read and understand every line of source code that comes through. So to be able to check it for maliciousness, for just faulty logic or potential bugs that could raise vulnerability issues, it is so easy to sneak stuff in. And we've seen that time and time again. If you look back over the last, 15, 20 years of open source projects, you see multiple vulnerabilities, some of which may or may not have been intentional, that have been inserted into a variety of projects from open SSL to the kernel to user land tools to cups for printing, all sorts of stuff where the vulnerability being discovered had been in place for 15, 20 or more years, decades. And it's kind of a miracle. It is a bit of a miracle that this doesn't bite us on the rear most ferociously more often, which is why this is kind of big news, because it was a dramatic loss of data. Whenever these sorts of things happens, regardless of operating system, dramatic loss of data, that's news. When the operating system causes you to lose data, as is happening here, it's news. This has happened to Windows, this has happened to Apple with Mac OS, and it happens to Linux from time to time as well. The thing is that it's not that common, right? On Linux, how often do you hear of this sort of thing occurring where someone installed a theme and suddenly lost all their files? Not that often. And that is both miraculous and lucky, and a bit of a testament to, you know, how well behaved most people are, realistically. Because I guarantee you, there are people watching this whole thing play out, seeing these warnings that the KDE team is issuing, and thinking to themselves, light bulb, and thinking, okay, I now have a million different attack vectors for causing all sorts of mayhem. And they do. There's so many ways, not just themes and from the KDE store, but we've seen the Snap store, Ubuntu Snap store, has had tons of malware uploaded to it, right? Which is really what this is. Whether or not you think that the person who did it intentionally, inserting an RM-RF into a theme, by accident. I was just making the button pulse blue, and I thought, what better way to do that than RM-RF? Like, no, okay, I'm just not buying that. But now they're thinking, okay, there's additional attack vectors. And another thing I want to point out, we're seeing this sort of thing increase a bit right now. While some organizations are jumping on top of this and trying to be a bit proactive about taking care of it, as KDE is here, kudos to them. They're jumping on it. Here, look at this. Here's a warning message they're putting up. This is from their little issue tracker system. They wanted to add more emphasis. They put this new warning in: any use of the provided files is at your own risk. You know, they make sure they let everyone know. And there's a couple others as well, but they're really getting in there and they're trying to fix it. And to a certain extent, the Ubuntu team is as well. But realistically, there isn't a fix for a lot of these things that doesn't come with a huge loss in functionality, right? So unless or a massive amount of expenditure in human time reviewing code, and even then it's not going to be complete, right? Because there's just so much code here. We kind of need to brace ourselves a little bit. We've seen, and I've reported on this in just the past couple of months, we've seen that the number of viruses and Trojans and whatnot that are impacting Linux has been on the rise on average over the last few years in a pretty big way. I want to say it was up something like 40% a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago. And we're seeing that steadily increase. And we're seeing a lot of big hacks of large institutions, many, if not most of which, are running servers that are based on Linux or FreeBSD and lots of open source projects. But on the desktop Linux side, we're seeing a significant increase in this as well. Malware and whatnot on the Snappy store. And now we're even seeing it at a point where you can't really trust themes that you just download, like from KDE. You can't trust a theme that you get from KDE. You probably can't trust, you know, many of the extensions that come from GNOME. You can't, realistically, most of the packages in the repositories for Arch and Debian and OpenSUSE and Fedora and Gentoo, they're not reviewed meticulously line by line before they get published every time an update gets published. So, do the package maintainers for those repositories know that there's not a malicious loop that does an RM-RF in there? No, they don't know that.
Is it possible for them to find out? Yeah, but it's a ton of work and they're not going to do that. They just don't have the time and the resources to do that or the desire to do that. Therefore, and that's just one possible exploit of a billion that could occur and may be occurring right now. These things are going to be on the increase. As they get done more often, more people are going to have the light bulb moment and they're going to sit down and they're going to create their own. I guarantee you, you're going to see more packages, themes, applications, and scripts that do little random themes, extensions for Gnome and whatnot that do a variety of malicious things, from weird background crypto mining to file deletion to all sorts of stuff. And people will just start blasting them out there and just seeing what goes undetected for a while. Or just to make a name for themselves, or just to be a bit of a turd. It's going to happen more and more. Because the reality is, it's far easier to sneak malicious code into an open source ecosystem than it is to do so on a closed source ecosystem. Now, I prefer open source and free software. I just do, for a million reasons. But that's just logical. If you have, let's say, a Windows box in front of you, and everything is carefully controlled and curated by Microsoft, in theory, and I want to sneak some code in to Windows. Well, I can't do that. I don't have access to Windows. So I have to find an exploit in order to get my malicious code onto your system. On Linux, I don't need no exploit. The exploit is the architecture itself. The exploit is the fact that it's all open source. There's a billion projects for me to submit code to. There's a lot of opportunity to create new projects just to submit that code to, including simple little themes. It's just incredibly easy. And the more that people realize this, which I know this video isn't helping, but I think the cat's out of the bag, I think the more we're going to see. And the KDE and GNOME and Ubuntu and every other project out there, every Linux distribution is going to have to wrestle with, how do we handle this? How locked down do we make things so that people can trust their repositories again? Because pretty soon, we're not going to be able to trust their repositories, even though KDE is jumping on this quickly. I'm going to be very clear about this. I don't believe that KDE did anything wrong here, right? They simply created functionality they thought was cool. Someone misused it, right? And used it in a way that KDE wouldn't have wanted them to, but they did it anyway. And KDE provides all the user-created content for all of you to use and enjoy, because open source and freedom and love. But now, once we get repeatedly bit and all of our data gets trashed by that open source software, we're going to stop trusting grabbing the themes. We're going to stop trusting grabbing the extensions. We're going to stop trusting installing anything other than maybe a handful of applications from the repositories of our Linux distributions. Yeah, that moment is coming. That moment is coming quickly. And we're going to have to figure out how we, as a Linux community, as the people who run these projects, are going to have to handle that. And there's no great answer is the problem. Whether they come at it from the point of view of let's lock everything down, well, that's a problem. That's going to make it so we don't have access to a bunch of stuff. That's no good. Or we're going to throw a huge amount of human resources at the reviewing of every bit of code that comes through. It's not a manageable situation. Not for Red Hat, not for Canonical, certainly not for KDE, which makes like $200,000 a year. They make like nothing. It's basically just volunteers, right? So they don't have the resources for that. It's not possible. It's not even possible for the Linux kernel, and there's a huge amount of money flowing into that. It's not possible. So what do we do? Do we start restricting the functionality and say that functionality that allows themes to execute arbitrary code has to be removed? Well, maybe. But then that still leaves all the other repository issues and everything else open, so it doesn't exactly solve the problem. It's a lot of stuff to consider, and I think there's going to be a lot of debates within the Linux and open source worlds over the weeks, days, and months ahead about how to handle this. And I'm not 100% certain how things are going to fall, but it's fascinating. I hope none of you lose any data from installing themes. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nerds and nerdettes across the inner tubes, I do declare end broadcast.